one that was from Troy and left and came back to Troy in New York. Amen. We thank God for having you all here with us on this evening. At this time, I'm going to ask you to stand. We will not be dismissing the children tonight, but we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. Amen. We're going to read three passages of scripture before we get into our presentation. We're going to read, we're going to start from Luke chapter 6, and we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and also Psalms chapter 11. Amen. Tonight, we will continue our series on spiritual living and holiness, part 3, spiritual living and holiness. Amen. Because we are desiring, if we want to be like, we want to be like Jesus. Amen. And the only way we know how to be like Jesus says in St. John chapter 5, verse 39, he says, search the scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. Amen. If we want to know how to live like Jesus, we have to go to the Word of God. Amen. Luke 6, we're going to read verses 43 through 48, and then we go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll read start with verse 19 there. Amen. Do we all have it? We do say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us start. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say to you? Wait. Why call me Lord, Lord, and what? Do not the things which I say. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to start reading verses 19 through 21 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Amen. Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. So he laid the foundation deep. Amen. The reason we have on our spiritual living and our living, our teaching on holiness is we need to know where is the foundation. Amen. So we can lay it deep. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Do we have it?
Amen.
Let us start. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, heaven is sealed. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from thee, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Stop. A vessel unto honor. And after the vessel unto honor, the very next thing he is what? Sanctified. Amen. Sanctified means set apart for God or holy living. Sanctified means set apart for God or holy living. When you purge yourself from any of the vessels of dishonor, then we are sanctified and we honor God. Let us continue. For the passage used, and most of all, we're what? Prepared unto every good work. Amen. So it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, purge means cleansing. Amen. The impurities, stain, sin, defilement, anything that would hinder us from being what God can do, we have to purge ourselves. After we purge ourselves, then we will be a vessel unto what?
Honor.
We want to honor God. I was created to make his praise. It's a thorough cleansing. Amen. And the last verse, well, you don't have to turn to it. I'll make reference to it. It's Psalm 11, verse 4. It says, if the foundation be destroyed, if the foundation be destroyed, it says, what can the righteous do? If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So our foundation is holiness and godliness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we take nothing for granted. Lord, we lift up Sister Anna's family during this time of bereavement, Sister Julie, Mother Barbara, and the whole host, Lord. We just pray that as you comfort them. But Lord, we thank you that she can say there's no more crying. Lord, there's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah. Oh God, that thou art God. Lord, now this evening, we acknowledge at this time that without you we can't do nothing. Lord, we open, ask you to open up the ears of our understanding. Lord, those that may not understand this way called holiness, Lord, we pray and ask that you give them a quick understanding. Lord God, that we just ask you to speak on this evening for thy servant hearing. Now, Lord, without you, we can't do nothing. And simply stop by and leave us a blessing. All our labor is in vain. But for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This song right said, I was created. Okay, Lord, Psalm 11, verse 3. I was created to make your praise
glorious.
Alright, I'm going to help y'all out. We're not going to have a day in church. Amen. When I say I was created to make your praise, all you have to do is say one word. Just say glorious. Can you say that? Come on, let's practice. I was created to make your praise
glorious.
Glorious. Amen. Amen. Purging ourselves tonight. And our greatest desire is, Lord, when he comes back, I want to be like him. In the book of James, the word of God said, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and contend with therein. God's word is this, is his perfect law of what? Liberty. God's word sets us free. Amen. You can't be bound in the word of God. But you got to look into it. Amen. You got to search. You got to study. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Amen. We have to study. We have to search. So whoso looketh, you got to look into it. You can't just hear. You got to search to see whether those things that are in the Bible or what people say, if they're true or not. Just like those of Berea. The Bereans, they searched daily to see whether those things were true or not. Well, we need to search. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Amen. Anybody tonight bound by anything? Anything got you down? Hey, look into the law of liberty, which is the word of God. If you look into it, he not being a forgiver here, but a doer of the words, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. Blessings are from God. Blessing is a favor from God. Amen. A lot of people have things, but they're not blessed because they haven't worked so hard. When you're blessed, God makes a way out of no way. Amen. Somebody said, Jesus rolled the waters back and he made a way out of no way. Amen. Tonight, with our focus is spiritual living. Amen. I think this is working. It was working. Let's see if you can mention that. Hold on. Let's see something else. Go to 11. Last week we went over verse 2 Corinthians 6, 17. It says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, which is to be what? Sanctified or set apart, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And the unclean thing is that which we must abstain from to perform the holiness standards, lust of the flesh, eyes, the pride of life is what we must abstain from. That's all that's in the world is the what? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the what? Pride of life. So we must abstain from these things. And he said, I will receive you. And when he receives us, he said, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. And as a reference for that, we go to St. John 8:31. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word. Amen. Not just knowing, but we must do what? Continue in his word. Continue in my word. Then are you my disciples. We can't be God's disciples outside of continuing in his word. Amen. That's why we have these classes on spiritual living and holiness. Because we must learn to continue in his word. Amen. The only way that we will make it to heaven, the Bible says in Revelation at the end, and the books were open. So we will be judged by the things that are in the books. If you don't know what's in the book, how can you get to heaven? Amen. So we have these classes on spiritual living. He said, you be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then 2 John 17:14, he said, I have given them my word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus said, I gave them thy word, but the world has hated them. So we don't try to conform to the world. We must be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind, because we are not of the world. The world, once again, is appearance, character, lifestyle, and alienation. And we said, when people look at us, amen, they should be able to see Christ. If alienation means it, the characteristics of us such that it is not distinguishable. Well, we're saved and we're Christians. When they look at us, they have to be able to see Christ. If not, it's an alien or something strange or unrecognizable. That should never be the case with God, because the Bible says we should let our light so shine so that men may see our what? Good works. And then when they see our good works, in turn they're going to glorify our Father which is in heaven. So we have an obligation, amen, not to be an alien, but to be an ambassador of Christ. So the world is alienation from God and opposition to God. That's what the world represents. And God represents holiness. Holiness means purity. No sin, no stain, no corruption. That's what holy means, pure. Amen. That's why when God, if you go all the way back when they had the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies, God overlaid everything in pure gold. Because God's standards are that pure and they are that clean. So it wasn't just any kind of gold. It wasn't silver, but it was pure gold. The best gold that you could get. He said, I give them thy word, and the world has hated them because we are not of the world. The book of Hebrews said we are what? Strangers and pilgrims, and we are what? Passing through. Amen. For we look for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. So this world is not our home. We're nothing more than a stranger and a pilgrim passing through. St. John 17:11 said, this is Jesus. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil thereof. Well, what does he mean by keep? God is not, we're in the world, but we're not what?
Of the world.
We're in the world, but we're not of the world, because we represent heaven and Christ. That's our responsibility. Amen. We are the living epistle. Amen. When they see us, they say, oh, that is a child of God. They say, they represent God in this entirety. Because we are the living epistle, and we're what? Read and known of. So when they read us, they best see Christ. Amen. If they read us and we're undistinguishable, they can't figure out what we are, then we are an alien. An alien is in opposition to God. There's no real distinction. Alright, so then, but that thou shouldest keep. What does he mean by keep? Protected, guarded, or surrounded by the everything in our lives is surrounded by the Amen. That's the only way we can be kept in this world. I don't care how what good intentions won't do it. Amen. The most holy and righteous new things we do won't do it. We're only kept by the power of God. And the rest of the scripture that is 1 Peter 1:5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. Kept. And a little earlier it says to an inheritance that's incorruptible. Amen. Our place in heaven can't be corrupted. Amen. Sin won't be there. Unrighteousness won't be there. The unclean won't be there. Amen. The hypocrite won't be there. The liar won't be there. Amen. Because it's an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. Amen. Defilement won't make you there. Amen. The reason Adam and Eve was kicked out of the garden is because they became corrupted or defiled. That was the original paradise. Amen. God showed to them it was a type of shadow for the church. You can't get back into paradise if you're defiled. Amen. If you're corrupt. It's an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it's reserved. It has your name on it. Jesus in the book of St. John says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Thank God, he has one reserved for me. He has one reserved for you. He has one reserved for Sister Anna. Amen. And she got it already. Amen. I said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Amen. We can't get there unless we live holy. Amen. You can't get there with sin in your life. He says, from the evil, God keeps us through the power of God from the evil one, and that is Satan's subtotal influences. Satan is the evil of the evil one. So we can, the only way you can be kept from Satan's subtotal tricks is through the power of God. But ye be loved, building up yourselves. How do you build yourself up? On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and he that prayeth in an unknown tongue, edifieth or build himself up. Amen. That's the only way that we can resist the devil and Satan's attempt to discourage us. Listen, depression is a spirit. Well, the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of what? That's the devil working on our minds. Amen. You know, you might be turned to high frequency there. But the devil is working on our minds, and he tells us, you know what? I can't, he said, listen, I can't get them to sin. I can't get them to deny God. So what I do is I turn the pressure up in their minds. I turn the pressure up so much, they won't even know who God is. Amen. And then we go to the psychiatrist, and they give us medicine, and that messes our mind up even more. But we are kept by the power of God. What's the power of God? The Holy Ghost. Amen. It was the Holy Ghost saved me. Holy Ghost set me free. Holy Ghost that in no time. It was the Holy Ghost that brought me out. Amen. 17, St. John 17:16. They are of the world, even they are not of the world. Guess what? We don't represent the world. The world is always in what? Opposition to God. We learned earlier, if you'll be a friend of the world, you'll be the what? Why? Because the world is always in opposition to God. So though we're in the world, we're in the world because God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, guess what? Wherever there is light, there is the darkness. So though we can be in the midst of the unsaved, because we are light, the darkness cannot comprehend us. Amen. He was in the world was made by him. The Bible said that the world knew not. But he was that light, and the darkness cannot comprehend him. So we don't have to compromise with the world, because we are the light of the world. Amen. There's no darkness in Christ. There's no hypocrisy. Amen is all about Jesus. We are the light of the world. Well, what the devil does is he likes to try to mess with our mind. Amen. The Bible said, right in the end of 17, said that God's word is the only thing that will keep us from the what? Yeah, from the evil, means the evil one are Satan. That's the only thing. Your good intentions. Amen. Though your uncle might be the greatest and grandfather might be the greatest bishop and preacher in the world, that can't keep you. Amen. You might grow up in the most spiritual house in the world, but if you don't have a personal relationship with God, with the power of God resident and working in your life, you won't be kept. Satan will constantly attack you. John 17:17. Well, why do we want to learn about holiness? Why do we want to learn about righteousness? Why do we want to learn about spiritual living? This is what Jesus says. 17, he said, sanctify. Amen. This is Jesus. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Amen. The reason we have these classes, we need to know the truth. Amen. Because only the truth will make us free. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. And what is truth? Thy word is what? Truth. Amen. There, you know, today in society, if everyone has their own personal ideologies, their own personal philosophies, their own personal theologies. But if it doesn't align with the word of God, it's not truth. Amen. Sanctify them through thy truth. And thy word is truth. Well, a lot of people say, Jesus said it. He tells the Father plainly, the Lord sanctify them. Well, what does sanctify? It means to be pure or to purify by internal and external transformation. A lot of people say, well, you can't judge me because you don't know my heart. He says, what kind of transformation? He said, what? Internal and external. Amen. We read earlier in Luke, but every tree is known by its fruit. All right, if I go to a tree and it has no fruit on it, then I say, hey, what kind of tree is that? But if I go to a seed to a tree and I see an apple on it, that tree is known by its fruit. What it what? Produces. When you look at the tree, there has to be a fruit on it. Jesus said every tree is known by its fruit. What that tree produces. When you look at them, you see it. Is it a good tree? Cannot bring forth corrupt the evil fruit, and a corrupt or evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Why he knows when he says from the abundance of the mouth speaking. So guess what? Your mouth will reveal your fruit. Your life will reveal your fruit. I really didn't mean to say that I slipped. It's in there. So God allows you to see it and work on it. But you can't do it. You can only do it through the power of God. So he says, sanctify them through that truth. It's an internal and external transformation. Amen. We learn in Romans where transformation is. It's a separation of the believer to God from the what? This is right here. That word. Everybody, W-O-R-L-D spells what? Separation of the believers of God from the world in what?
Behavior.
Well, I don't have to act this way. Your behavior matters.
Come on.
Well, I'm on my job and you don't know what they have. Ask what they're doing. Well, are you in Christ? Are you in the world?
Come on.
Well, you don't know what my neighbor did. I don't have to be godly. It says in what? Behavior. Separation. And it's what? Representation of God in behavior and? Well, I don't feel like it. Well, we are supposed to be sanctified or set apart. So it matters about our behavior. It matters about our appearance and also our
lifestyle.
That's what it means to be sanctified, to be pure, are purified by internal and external transformation. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Truth is, God's word is absolute. Amen. And being this disciple, our desire is to make it to heaven. Well, if I don't continue in the Word, how can I make it to heaven? Because he has to be able to tell me, well done, thou good and
faithful.
Faithful in what? Keeping his Word. Mm-hmm. If you're not faithful in keeping his Word, how can you make it to heaven if you're not faithful? Who God is absolute, pure, not false, or ambiguous. And he says, thy Word is truth. And then just as a quick reference, Leviticus, and it goes all the way back to Exodus. The first thing that God did when the children of Israel came out of Egypt is he wanted them to be holy and he wanted them to be sanctified. He told them, learn not the ways of the world. That's what Egypt represents, the world. He said, don't learn their ways, even though you've been in Egypt. He said, when you come out, when you come out, he said, though I know they had the depression. The reason God allowed them to go through the Red Sea, it was a type of figure of a cleansing. That's why the Bible said they all went under the cloud and through the water under Moses. The Red Sea represented a type of cleansing. So when they came to the Red Sea, God said, now I've cleaned you, now I need you to be holy. I need you to be sanctified. I need you to be set apart. I don't want you to do what the other nations are doing.
Right.
All right, so Leviticus 21, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the stranger, the sojourner in Israel, that giveth any of his seed to Molech. Molech represented idolatry. Anything that would, Molech was in opposition to God. Molech was a false idol. And what they were doing, they were burning their children in sacrifice to idols. So Molech represented sacrificing to idols or devils. Amen. He said that if any give his seed to Molech, he shall surely be put to in the beginning. God has not changed. Amen. The Bible says the temple of God has nothing to do with the temple of idols. And we are the temple of God. So we don't do anything with idols. He shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stone. And I will set my face against that man. Those are the what? Practicing idolatry. Those that incorporate the world into holiness. He said, this is what I'm going to do. He's not going to set my face against that man. Why? Because they're mixing idolatry with the truth. He calls it spiritual fornication, spiritual adultery. He said he won't have that. He said, I'll cut him off from among the people because he has given his seed unto who? But the biggest thing that he did, and remember today, who is God's sanctuary? We are. Who is God's temple? We are. Amen. So he said, to defile my
sanctuary.
We are God's sanctuary. We are not to be defiled. Later on we'll go over what defilement is. We are not to defile our sanctuary. And to profane my
holy name.
Amen. That's in the beginning, when he first came out. He said, and if the people of the land do in any ways hide their eyes from the man. Say, listen, if he's wrong, you see he's doing wrong. Don't just turn your head and say, well, that's not my business. I don't have anything to do with it. Amen. The Bible says we are all helpers one of another. Amen. If we see our brother overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. In meekness, be humble, be kind. Don't say, you're no good. No, he said, no, go. I desire to surrender, brother. So you restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest I also be tempted. Amen. And if ye that are strong ought to do what? Bear the infirmities of the weak. So he says, if you see your brother, amen, he said, don't hide your eyes from that man. We're supposed to help him. We're supposed to get him back on track. He in the spiritual. He said, when he giveth his seed unto idols, or devil worship, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man, against his family, and cut off him for miracle spirit, you know, nothing has changed. What was old is still the day. Those people that believe in seances or contacting the dead, you know, you ever see somebody say, well, I talked to such, that's not of God. Amen. You can't have contact with the dead, because once that spirit leaves, either it goes to God, to paradise, or it goes to hell. And to just let you know, if you get in the book of Luke, I think it's back by the 15 or 16, the Bible talks about the rich man that died. And he said, Father Abraham, he said, send back Lazarus that he may testify to my brothers, lest they come to this place of torment. Amen. He was in torment. Why? Because he was not holy. He was not righteous. And Abraham said, well, they have Moses and the prophet. Let them hear them. He said, they won't even believe the one came back from the dead. Amen. So, we got to be holy. Amen. We got to be righteous. We got to do it God's way. And there's no use. I'm sorry about that. But you know what? The name is the improper use of our God or whatever. But there's no use in trying to contact something that's gone. That's not of God. That is not spiritual. Say us is a contact with the dead. And after witness, witness with nothing more than false prophets or warlocks or those that were just dealing in divination and ungodly living. Devils, worshiping devils, that's what it is. To go whoring spiritual doctrine after them, the hour of even set my face against that soul. Amen. God will set his face against that soul and cut them off from among the people. But he says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to what? Alright, that's two or three. Come on, everyone. It's the red, the blue. Right there. S A N C P I F Y. That spells what?
Sanctify.
Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye
holy.
Amen. Well, the only way that you're not going to be caught up in idolatry is you've got to be set apart for God's use. Sanctify yourself and be holy. He said, I'm the Lord your God. Sanctify. All right. Hey, what do we use for you? What am I saying? So I don't think my performance is important. Alright. Yeah, can we have some different volunteers than last week? Can somebody just read to me what we're gonna do like they do down south? I say read, then I say stop. Alright? So who's gonna read for me? Alright, Sister Julie. Alright, give her the mic. This is school.
Not.
Alright, read what sanctify means.
Sanctify, to be purged or to purify by internal and external transformation.
To be what? Purged or purified by what?
Internal
and
external.
Well, when they say it's in my heart, is that enough? It has to be a transformation on the inside and the
outside.
Because if we would examine ourselves and judge ourselves, then we have no need to be God won't have to judge us because we're judging ourselves. Right? In worldly behavior, appearance, and lifestyle. In Leviticus 28, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them, for I am the Lord that what?
Sanctifies you.
So sanctification is from God.
Amen.
Amen. It's a part of God. It's been set apart for God's usage. All right, now we're going to bring it, that was in the Old Testament, now we're going to bring it home to the New Testament. He said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. How can you live sanctified? You have to do what? Gird up the loins of your
mind.
Amen. That's what the devil tries to attack. It's what? Your mind. So we need to gird up the loins of our mind. That means to be conviction of the mind. Refuse to what?
Compromise.
Somebody else get their mic. Who else wants to bring it? Come on. Give me somebody else. You want to get somebody else? All right, this is bad. All right, now it's good that you read me. All right.
Conviction of the mind. Refuse to compromise or be pressured into an ungodly decision or decision by the masses.
Okay, refuse to what?
Compromise.
Or be pressured from all the world, those around you, into a what kind of decision?
Ungodly.
Refuse to let anyone sway you against God. The Hebrew boys, they stood the test. Even though they had to go to the furnace. Daniel refused to compromise. Though he had to go into the lion's den. And because they went into the trial and refused to compromise, God delivered them. Why? Because God knows how to deliver the godly, right? Out of temptation. To be godly means to be holy. If you live holy, God knows how to deliver you out of temptation. But when you compromise, you only make the situation that much worse. So refuse to compromise. All right? And it says, I'm going to decision, I'm decision by the so why can't we? That's not sanctified. That's not holy. That's not representing God. That's not, as we went on last week, that's not when you're influenced by the masses. It's called friendship of the world, and that's the interweaving, or mixing, or blending, so that you don't have any real distinction of character. Amen. And that's when two souls become one. Refuse to be a friend of the world.
Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Which is in who? Christ Jesus. And you know what it said? This is what Jesus, though he was in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be what? Equal with God. But the scripture said he didn't make himself no reputation. In other words, he didn't try to please anybody down here. Because his desire was to please God. He made himself a what? No reputation. So let this mind be in you. Your reputation is only according to God's standards. You don't have to please anybody else. Alright?
Be sober, not being self-willed, or not influenced by one's emotions or passions.
Sober is what? Not being
self-willed.
Not placing your will above God's will. Sober. Not placing your will above God's will. You're not self-willed and not influenced by one's
emotions
or passions. Temperate or common spirit. And I'm going to turn to this because there's too many scriptures. Well, I make reference to this. When Jesus asked his disciples, he said, whom do men say that I am? And Peter spoke up and said, who? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus turned to Peter and said, blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He's what he said, you are blessed. Then a little while later, when he's telling them how he's going to leave, and Peter gets caught up in the emotions, and he said, Lord, they're not going to do this, and we're not going to let them do it. We're going to fight, we're going to do this. Jesus turned around and said, get thee behind me. Why? Because he was becoming self-willed. And he would allow his emotions and passions to get a hinder the counsel of God. Your emotions, your passions, your self-will will cause you to conflict with the counsel of God. So when you get emotional, it's time to stop praying. Because in your emotions, when you continue, you're going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, how could the same person that was blessed with the Father have to get saved out of it? Who is speaking? Well, let me read it, because I can you get a scripture without messing it up? No. Alright, Matthew 20, I want to read this. I want you to hear it, because this is it's hard to believe that the same individual that was just blessed turns around and has the influence of Satan. Well, what allowed them to do it? They what? Emotions. When Paul was purposing to go back to Jerusalem, he knew that he might die in Jerusalem. He told the brethren, he said, stop trying to weep and break my heart. What? He said, get your emotions out of it. I have a call, God, of my life. I must fulfill the call. Brothers and sisters, every one of us have a call of God in our lives. We need to fulfill the call. But if you allow your self-will, if you allow your emotions to get in the way, Satan will influence you. Because he deals with the passions and the emotions. All right. Let me start off. I'm going to read this really fast. So we can all know what it is. It says, verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show to his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes to be killed and be raised up, raised again the third day. Jesus knew he had to go to Jerusalem, just as Paul had to go where? To Jerusalem. Amen. And whenever they were going to Jerusalem, though that should have been Jerusalem is the mother of us all, that's where their greatest affliction and trials came from. So the brethren cried and begged Paul, Paul, don't go. Paul went anyway, but this is the same thing with Jesus. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. God had a call on Jesus' life. Just like every last one of you have a call on your life. We all have a call. The only thing that will stop that call is we are self-willed and influenced by our emotions and passions. That's the only thing that will hinder you from being what God wants you to be. Because when you become self-willed and you're driven by emotions and passion, then Satan has a way to get involved. Mm-hmm. If you keep the emotions out, amen. If you keep a solid mind, the devil can't influence you. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Well, for this cause was I born. For this purpose came Jesus into the world. So Peter, what are you doing? Your emotions, your self-will, your passions are conflicting with God's counsel. Mm-hmm. Your passions, your emotions, being self-willed will conflict with God's counsel in your life. But he turned and said unto Peter, who is he talking to? Peter. Now listen to what he tells Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Because Peter is now being governed by his own will. Anytime our will gets a conflict with God's will, we are being influenced by Satan. Amen. There's peace of God in this world. He said, get thee behind me, for thou Savior. He said, you don't care about the things of God, Satan. Don't get involved. You see out. Amen. Because there's no friendship with light and darkness. Amen. There's no friendship with the world of God. So without saying it's not the things of God, but those things that be of man. When you're self-willed, driven by your emotions and passion, your only concern is the things that deal with man. Amen. Not God. Our first thought, our first inclination should be always like Jesus said, we do not desire is to please God. That's why a little later in as he was going down, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And he must pick up his cross and follow me daily. And he said, what does it profit a man if he gains his whole? Come on, if he gains his whole world, then what? Lose his soul. salvation with
joy.
Amen. Anytime you see somebody waiting for salvation and they look like the most miserable person, they don't have hope. Because hope has joy.
Amen.
Amen. Joy and full of confidence in hope.
God.
It's not about what I can do. The power is in God. Amen. No matter how bad it looks, don't lose your hope. What's that song said? Don't lose. I never lost my faith. I never lost my joy. I never lost my
faith.
Most of all, I never lost my
praise.
Amen. If you believe in God, if your confidence in God, don't lose it. No matter how bad it gets, don't lose it.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to hold on until my chains come.
Yeah.
Amen. And our reference scripture today is what?
Titus.
Titus 2:12.
Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts.
Teaching us what? When we're sanctified, we gotta do what? Deny what?
Ungodliness.
Denying ungodliness and what?
Worldly lusts.
Worldly lusts. All right. As obedient children, that's where we're at now.
living or standard of holiness.
Amen. To what? Halfway submit.
Holy.
80%.
Holy.
75%.
100.
89%.
Holy.
99.5%.
Holy.
99.5% won't do. We have to do what? Give what? 100%. So 100% is what? Submit to godly living, our standards of holiness. And our reference scripture is what? And it says what?
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God.
Submit to who?
God.
Submit yourself, therefore, to
God.
And then what?
Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
There's only two gods, either the God or the devil. When you don't submit to God, then the devil won't flee. Amen. So when we submit to God and resist the devil, what? Submit to God and do what?
Resist the devil.
All right. Let me show you. It says, resist the who?
The devil.
God and the devil. Those are the two gods. So when you submit to God and do what? Resist the devil and do what? See? He didn't like that. When you submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. Amen. That's called submitting to God. You want me to use my photographic memory or okay? Tell us to do what? Just there. Don't we resist the devil to what? See, when we submit to God, the devil will have to get out the way. But when you're not submitted to God, and you know, holiness is so important because in holiness, we can't be the centerpiece. Our lives, some of our lives have become so self-governed and so self-willed and selfish that we don't make a decision unless it benefits us. Everything we do is from first and most to benefit God. Amen. So when we can't, that's good. Don't worry about it. That's good. So when we can't submit to God, amen. When we can't be sanctified and live holy, holy, soberly, and righteous, we're not submitting. The only way we can receive God, we must what? Submit to God. Amen. When we submit to God and resist the devil, we'll do what? Amen. Humble yourself, the Bible said, out of the mighty hand of God, and he will what? Exalt you in what? God's, listen, God has a secret for all of our lives. And because we don't really understand, some of us run ahead of God. You know, the devil will cause you to do one of two things. You know, it's like, I got to do this and I got to do it. Now, he'll make you run ahead or he'll make you linger behind. Amen. But just like when you're in the army, you have to march to the what? Cadence. Amen. You got to march to the steps that God has set for us. Holiness. Righteous living. You can't do it through self-will, through your passions, and through emotions. We can only live soberly and righteously by the what? Power